In this episode, I'm talking about using video to achieve business mastery by laying out my four zones of influence.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery.
Hey-o! All right, coming up in this episode. Look, I'm going to be sharing with you how to use the four zones of video marketing to influence and achieve business mastery. Now, this is something that I've never actually shared before, but it's essential that you understand it. It's actually been rolling around in my dome. I've mapped things out over the years like this, and I've actually never heard of another marketer contextualize video marketing like this. But first, before I dig in too much into the four zones, if you're following me on LinkedIn, which you absolutely should, you already know that on Tony Robbins' website yesterday, three of my videos just went live. And I'm just super stoked about it, as you can imagine. You know, I'm teaching on Tony's website for his audience how to survive in today's selling environment while preparing your business for an increasingly on-demand future. And you might remember back in episode 229, I actually brought you behind the scenes the day that I filmed these videos for Tony. But at that time, I couldn't reveal to you who I was doing it for. So it might be fun to go back and re-listen to EP229, and as Paul Harvey used to say on the radio, and now you know the rest of the story. Couldn't tell you then, but now you know. And if you want access to Tony Robbins' Business Resiliency Expert Video Series, where we're providing direct, timely advice from an all-star lineup of business mastery speakers, you can just go to the show notes page for this episode, wirebuzz.com/234. Super stoked about that. So let's get started. You know, there are four zones of video marketing influence. And I've always had this concept, but it feels like now is the time to like lift the veil because, well, frankly, I'm hearing a lot of business people that are confused about video marketing. And it's essential that you understand how to leverage each of the four zones because you got to do it differently. Like there are different strategies and different gurus for each of the four zones. And if you're going to become a video marketing master, you need to understand this intimately. And when business people stumble into video marketing, like for the first time, they often talk about it like they're throwing a single dart. And I don't see it like that at all. Naturally, you know, naturally people think this is like a YouTube video in their head. They're like, oh, you're talking, like I've been doing this so long. I got started, I opened Wirebuzz in 2010. I mean, YouTube was just a baby at this time. And now I'm starting to hear even more confusion. So people are like, yeah, what do you do? And I go, well, you know, I own a video marketing agency. And they'll say like, you mean like Zoom calls? Why does anybody need to pay an agency to create Zoom calls? Like, can anybody do that on their own? Like, this is the level of complexity that I'm hearing in the marketplace. But rarely do people put it together into one clear vision, which I'm going to attempt to do right now for you. And I know the Russian judges, they always grade the hardest, but they recognize when the degree of difficulty goes up and they reward you accordingly. And you see, each zone that I'm going to share with you has different goals that require their own strategies, their own tactics, and often different tools or different people creating it. Like some zones are for the marketing team and other zones are really dominated by the sales team. The quicker you understand the who does what where in which zone, the easier it'll be for you to position your business to crush it like a boss with video marketing, all right? Now, I know it sounds complex, but it really isn't. And because we're all still in the early days of business video marketing, which I just realize is funny because I guess it's still the early days for a lot of people. and I haven't seen anybody master each of the four zones. I'm going to share with you who you should study if you want to master their zone. Okay. And the truth is, the best marketers know. Video marketing is really a galaxy of different tactics. And that's part of the reason there's so much confusion out there. But my job is to simplify video marketing and its galaxy and give you, I guess you would say, like a hitchhiker's guide that you can easily follow for ROI. And quickly, before I break down each of the zones, I need to make sure that we're both walking into this podcast episode with the same point of reference, like the same context coming into it. Because if you don't get this point, if you're a business leader and you don't get this point, it's hard for you to really go forward. See, you no longer have the option of choosing video marketing or not. You don't. I mean, if you delayed adopting video for whatever reason, now is the time to push yourself into the next great chapter of your career, because this is where the big growth is going to be for you. And I just had a call with a company this week. The marketing and sales leaders are followers of mine. And they told me that their sales team is struggling to physically get access to their prospects. So they got me on a call with their CEO. And as I walked through to the CEO and talked to them about the changing landscape and how now sales is increasingly more on demand and that buyers going through their own journey and they rely on video to learn quickly and have a knowledge transfer, the big boss pumped the brakes and told me, look, our clients, they don't want to buy in a non-human online way. All right. Are you sure about that? Because them times, they are a-changing. And right now, as we're in this quarantine, people aren't interacting with salespeople. So your choice is either you stop altogether and pump the brakes on your business, or you figure out how to reinvent the way you get in front of your prospects, change the way you convince and convert them. We're going to spend more time on that right now in this episode. But the data shows that when you ask buyers if they prefer talking with a salesperson or doing their own research, the results really aren't in the same, they're not in the same universe. And almost everyone says that they prefer to do their own research. Almost everybody, like the mid 80% range, right? So you could, if you want to give that extra white glove treatment, Todd, we give people white glove treatment, then what you're really doing is you're selling to a smaller and smaller pie. Good luck making ends meet. The time now is to adopt, to transform, to pivot so you can prosper. And I'm going to break down how you can do that. Business videos are now an essential required set of tools that you have to use if you're committed. And when I say committed, what I really mean is 100% committed to competing today and into the future. And for most businesses, the fundamentals have changed forever, and it doesn't matter if you're B2B or you're in B2C, because a salesperson's access to their prospects is all but prohibited. And before the coronavirus, 82% of buyers said they didn't want to talk with a salesperson until after they were ready to make a buying decision. Understand that you are no different. Like when you're going through your research journey, if a salesperson came up and started talking to you, you would be like, dude, are you kidding? I can do all this stuff on my own. And your prospects and clients are totally in charge, just like you are when you're going through that buying experience. They prefer to learn on their own. Don't take it personally. It doesn't devalue your place in this world. All you have to do is adjust into their preferred path of learning, and then send sales, your sales team, to follow up after the prospect goes through the knowledge transfer that they would get from going to your website or for interacting with your video. So if you're ready, like really ready to crush more deals than ever, here are the four zones of influence for using video to close deals más rápido. Zone one is called discovery, and this is where prospects first learn about you. And for most businesses, social media is where people first encounter your brand and your business. So if your founder, your key opinion leaders, or your salespeople are engaging prospects on social, then you're going to use video to pique interest and to create awareness that moves prospects onto your business site with a CTA, also known as a call to action. And if you're a salesperson that has a following, or you'd like to develop one, the types of videos that typically perform the best in zone one are early awareness stage videos that are helpful. Helpful, a good reminder, helpful in zone one is the new viral, okay? Helpful is the new viral. Those videos should answer the questions that your prospects most commonly ask. Plus, your video needs to inspire people to take action and jump into zone two, which will be your website. I'll get into that in a moment. Does that make sense? You want to, on zone one, pique somebody's interest, let them discover you, add value, be helpful, and inspire them with a CTA to get to zone two. Now, the big goal in zone one is to move the right people, the right type of people from social onto your site. For example, right now on LinkedIn, several times a week. Maybe you're already seeing me do this. Oh, by the way, if you are not following me on LinkedIn, you are missing a big part of the knowledge bombs that I am dropping on a daily basis. There's motivation there. And please hit me up on LinkedIn. And do, if you wouldn't mind, do me a big solid. Just like Gary Gower just did. Gary just in the middle of recording this episode. Gary, what is up? In the middle of recording this episode, Gary dropped me a note saying that he's addicted to my episodes, loves the stuff, and he's working right now on mastering show and tell videos, which will come up in zone three. You just wait for it. What hell of a tease, Todd. That was well played. Like, for example, let's talk about LinkedIn again. Several times a week, I am posting the videos there where I'm teaching business leaders how to pivot to remote selling. And at the end of each video, I tell them, if you want to learn my secrets for using video to engage your prospects remotely and to speed up your sales process, well, I've got 20 minutes of free video training at wirebuzz.com/remote-sales. Now, you see what I just did there? I'm moving interested people from zone one on LinkedIn, where they discovered me, to zone two, where a journey page on my website lives that is devoted to that specific audience, people that want to learn how to pivot to remote selling. Now, the tricky part is, if you want to rock zone one discovery, the first thing you have to do is select which social network that you want to dominate, and then study the rock star that absolutely crushes that social network. The thing that I find fascinating is one person will typically not dominate all the social networks. It just doesn't happen. You don't see it. It's not like there's very few people that can crush each one. For example, Instagram, if that's your jam, that's your zone one platform for discovery, you should learn from the Instagram business guru, because there's a reason Instagram gurus are often nowhere to be found on Twitter. And there's a reason why Twitter experts are often AWOL on LinkedIn. You see, different social universes have different bosses that rock it. Got it? And very rarely does anybody crush each of them. And when they do, they're typically a mainstream media celebrity. Then there's very little down and dirty marketing that you can extract from studying a mainstream media personality's social success. But if you can figure out which platform you want to crush, then go and study the big boss that's crushing zone one. All right? Tony Robbins teaches, if you want to be successful, find someone who's achieved the results that you want and copy what they do, and you'll achieve the same results. It's just that easy. And if LinkedIn is your preferred zone one platform, like it is for me, the person that you should be studying, who's crushing business videos the best on LinkedIn right now, is my friend Shay Robottom. I like Shay a lot. She inspires me to like up my zone one video game. And if you want to hear my recent interview with Shay on the Toddcast and listen to the knowledge bombs in that episode, just go to wirebuzz.com/223. That's episode 223, and you can listen to it. And it's important you realize that there really isn't a guru for each of the four zones yet. So you can't rely on a Zone 1 LinkedIn Discovery superstar to teach you about the other zones. The galaxy of video marketing is a little too large for anyone's brain to be able to retain all the tricks and to finesse all the way through each of the zones. For example, and I mean this with all due respect because she deserves it, I don't see Shay competing in the next three video marketing zones of influence that business needs if you want to become proficient. I mean, her business is taking zone one, moving somebody to a landing page where they become a customer, and she does it very quick. It is a less deliberate path to purchase than most businesses out there. No fault to her. A lot of times you have more complex paths to purchase that you need to create, and different zones require different tactics, strategies, videos, and different gurus. You know, most videos in zone one, for example, are watched with the audio off. So if you study Shay, you'll know what her tactic is. In fact, I saw this in Forbes. A study of US consumers found that on social media, 69% view video with the sound off in public places, and 25% watch with the sound off in private places. 80% of consumers are more likely to watch an entire video when captions are available. 50% of consumers say captions are important because they watch video with the sound off. Now, if you want to get access to the service that I use or Shay uses to easily captionize your videos, I'm going to give it to you right now. Get a pen and paper handy, and I will give it to you. I use Splashio. You know that I recently did an episode with the Splashio founder, and the place to go is splashio.com. That's splashio.com/Todd. That's T-O-D-D, where 3/4 of my name is devoted to being odd. I don't know how it happens. Splashio.com/Todd is where you go and find that. Look, that's just one of the many things that you can learn from Shay, like vulnerability or selecting the right topic or how to use editing tempo. She's like a boss on all of those things. And even skits, she does skits that generate huge audiences because you don't really see that on LinkedIn. Shay is definitely a superstar for Zone 1. And to summarize, once you've been discovered and valued by your prospect in Zone 1, what do you need to do? You need to move them, that prospect, into Zone 2 by getting them to visit your website. Now, let's talk about Zone 2. Let's do that transition right now, and I'm going to start to break down your business website. Zone 2 is your business website. Now, if your business is about one product or one solution, then drive people from Zone 1 to your homepage. But for most businesses, their homepage has more than one solution or type of customer for it to effectively transition prospects through the decision-making process. And when the Wirebuzz strategy team digs into a new client website, it's really common for businesses to drive traffic to their homepage. Like, we see that. We notice it in their numbers, and we can't figure out why. Like, at first we're like, well, why is their conversion rate so low? And why are their ad dollars so high? And as we dig into it, it becomes clear that it's a rookie move. They've been driving traffic to a homepage without a desired or deliberate path to purchase. So just think about that for a moment. It's really common for businesses to drive that traffic to the homepage, where what happens in the traffic's mind, the person that comes to the page, they get confused. They look around. It doesn't feel like it's personal or relevant enough for them. So they bounce, and then they don't convert into customers. You know, Instead, if you want to make Zone 2 super efficient, I want you to drive your Zone 1 social traffic onto a customer journey page that was designed specifically for the type of prospect that you've been engaging on social. Like, do you remember my example that I gave you a few moments ago, my Zone 1 discovery strategy example I shared, where right now I'm mostly posting videos about how to sell remotely? So where do you think I'm sending those people? You know, I could send them to my homepage, but that's not specific enough for today's online researcher. It won't feel personalized. It won't feel relevant. It'll feel like a disconnect from what they were intrigued about on social. And my homepage is a high-level overview on our business. It's not tightly aligned with my Zone 1 social content, or as tight as I would want it to be for that traffic to be held efficiently and retained. So instead, we lean in on making Zone 1 and 2 hyper-relevant to each other by creating a landing page that's all about my tricks for selling remotely. And to increase clarity and to make learning effortless, we added videos that teach what's on the page or add even greater value than the information that's on the page. Now, the types of videos that perform the best on customer journey pages, and by the way, this is a great generalization. So before you take this as the gospel, according to Todd, I'm giving you a generalization based on most businesses that I interact with, which, look, there could be others, and I'm open to learning, and I think you can figure out on your own what is the most compelling and captivating way to move people through the journey. It could be one long video that does these things. It could be a couple different videos. The choice is ultimately yours based on your strategy. But anyway, the types of videos that perform the best on customer journey pages are an overview or an explainer video. It doesn't matter what you call it. They're basically the same thing. It's a high-level overview video that lives up at the top. Then a testimonial story, which features a raving client that originally had the same pain and frustrations as the persona you were targeting on, let's say, LinkedIn in Zone 1. And that testimonial story is more about the customer's heroic transformational experience than it is about your business. And then I recommend some type of implementation video or next steps video. An example is if you, let's say, have a device, the video is how to use the device or to connect it to something. If you're a realtor that specializes in only the needs of commercial buyers, then this late stage implementation video should all be about how you implement with the company that's trying to relocate or renegotiate its lease. Like, what is the implementation part like? It's a late stage hesitation area where you can answer some of those unresolved questions and give people a big view into how they can implement with you or start working with you and what next steps look like. Got it? Now, if prospects arrive on my website and I take them to a page that doesn't feel like it's exactly what they're looking for, or maybe the page makes them work, God forbid, too hard, or they have to jump through too many hoops or burn too many mental calories for them to quickly see how I can be of value to them, they're going to bounce and continue their journey elsewhere. So instead of doing that and burning precious ad dollars or losing leads, I want you to drive your traffic to a customer journey page that's laser focused on the type of customer's specific needs that you want to influence, to reel in, to have a meeting with, and so on. Now, I look at these customer journey pages like bowling lanes, where you want them to go down and get a strike. Right? Hit all the pins. And the way that you make it optimized so people can get down and not have a gutter ball and miss your valuable information by getting a gutter ball that's like bouncing and going to a different page is you put those bumpers down. And when you lay bumpers down, people don't really have much of a choice. So eliminate all the options of people clicking off of that page and kind of pull people down. See if you can pull people down by providing only the options on that page and create one nice path for them in one location with one URL to get all the relevant information they need to want to raise their hand and talk to a salesperson. So remember, instead of driving people to your homepage, the companies that are the most efficient with their leads move traffic to pages that are personalized for the specific prospect's needs, pain, and frustrations. Now, besides your website and the customer journey page, the integrated tools that you're going to need to track your prospect's digital body language and what their attention span is like when they're going through your videos, so you know which leads are interested in buying, you're going to need a CRM, marketing automation like HubSpot, and your video player, which is probably in most cases, we end up recommending Wistia, W-I-S-T-I-A. Now, the big guru in this, well, Russell Brunson's like the big frigging guru on these funnel pages. And so Russell's going to be somebody that's going to teach you a lot. I would recommend going and reading some of his books like .com Secrets. And his new book just came out called Traffic Secrets. Russell, you may know, is the founder of ClickFunnels, which we use on a variety of Wirebuzz projects. And Traffic Secrets, I'm reading it right now. And if you want to read Traffic Secrets with me, reach out to me, hit me up on LinkedIn. I might do an episode about the book in 30 days from now. So if you hit me up, who knows? I might even interview you about the book, what you learned, and we might be able to bro out on a future episode. And another great Zone 2 resource is a book that's written by my friends at Vertical Measures, which is a digital marketing agency, probably a 15-minute drive from my office. And good friend of the Toddcast, Mike Huber, is also an author on their customer journey book. And if you want to hear my interview with Mike when the book was released, make sure you listen to that episode by going to wirebuzz.com/193. That's right. It happened in episode 193. Now, the reason I recommend using the Wistia video player is it communicates to the CRM and the marketing automation platform, and that communication allows a lot of really cool things to happen. I talk about it on a lot of episodes. I'm not going to get too deep in here, but it definitely is a Zone 2 tactic. So now that you understand Zone 1 and Zone 2, let's talk about Zone 3 of using video to influence your prospects so they become a buyer. Zone 3 is personalized videos. Now, as you know, video marketing masters, we recognize that the use of business videos is much larger than just social media or your website. Zone 1 and Zone 3 are typically where salespeople get to shine, develop deeper relationships, and provide massive friggin' value. You know who gets hired today? Before we even move forward on Zone 3, who gets hired today? Well, let me give you a hint. It's not the person with the most experience or the one with the longest resume and the deepest client list. It's not. The person that gets hired today is the one that demonstrates their willingness to be helpful and guide the prospect all the way through to achieve their goal. That's the person who gets hired. Now, that's important for you to understand in mastering Zone 3 with your personalized videos. And there are three personalized uses of video that any business can use to develop deeper relationships, elevate their level of service, and close deals faster. The first use of video in Zone 3 is using video conferencing services like Zoom, GoToMeeting, or WebEx. And we've been using these for years, but all of a sudden, when COVID hit, man, Zoom became like a big winner. You know, people are all talking about Zoom, even my mom. My mom told me that she's connecting with ladies on Zoom to play cards. And I go, really, where are these ladies? She goes, all over the world. And I said, like any cities near you? And she said, oh, I don't know. So what I take it is they're playing cards, but they're not chit-chatting, right? Now, basically, every time you have a client call, by default, you should be, without even thinking about it, setting up a video call using a service like Zoom. And always make sure your camera is on. And I'm going to give you a couple of pro tips that'll help you elevate your revenue results. First, The lighting should be in front of you, not behind. You want your face lit up. So positioning a window directly behind you is not optimal. If you need to add more light to your face at your desk, just grab yourself an inexpensive LED USB light. Like, I've got one that has three different color tones. It's called Invisit. I'm going to spell it for you. I-V-I-C-T. How would you say that? Evisit. Evist. Evist? Oh, wait. It's a stupid name. I-V-I-C-T. You got it? And it costs $23.99 on Amazon, which means they're going to ship it right to your door because Amazon, those people are first responders now. And I'll put a link to the light that I use at my desk on the show notes page, wirebuzz.com/234. But the camera angle is also important. I want you to realize most people on these Zoom calls are using the wrong angle. Please do not use or have your camera pointing up your nose. The only person that's really excited about looking up your nose is your ear, nose, and throat doctor. And if you aren't on a telemedicine call, your camera should always be at eye level. Eye level does not mean pointed up or pointed down. It means if you put a level with a bubble between your camera and your eyes, it would be totally level. Now, the reason is, I want you to do this, that's where we make relationships. So lower your desk chair or raise your computer if your camera is on your computer in a way that aligns the levels between your camera and your eyeballs. And frankly, eye level is how we make relationships. That's how we look our best. So sometimes I'm on a Zoom call and at my desk, I already know before I get on that call, I'm going to lower my chair and it's going to sound like this. And now I'm at eye level with the camera and I'm ready to rock and roll. Turn this thing on. Let's get going. Let's talk about business and make some money. Sometimes I'm on a Zoom call with people and their camera's like 30 feet away. And I'm not really even sure if there's three people in the room or four because it's so far away. And that's not helpful. It really isn't, because we're trying to develop relationships. And that means you need to let people see your eyes and your smile. You need to warm them up. You need to make confident eye contact. And when they're talking, you need to nod your head so they know that you're following with them. To make sure your audio and your video delivery is solid whenever possible, don't use Wi-Fi. I want you to connect via Ethernet cable. These meetings are too expensive for you to allow a fickle Wi-Fi router to interrupt your call. Now, I say this because I've done so many calls over the years that I already know what the cost of the call is. I also know that it takes me so much time to schedule this thing, it better be dialed in. So I optimize it, I do it every time, and I follow that to get the best results. Make sure your setup is optimized. So let me give you a pro tip. Always work to get your prospect or your client to turn their camera on too. If you're selling, get them to turn their camera on, always. Getting them on camera should always be your goal. If the camera is not on, your chance of earning the sale is going to go down. Now, 3 days ago, I had a first-time prospect meeting on Zoom, and she couldn't she couldn't turn on her webcam. In fact, in the new world of sales, the best salespeople are focused on micro optimizations through their entire sales process. This pro tip is just one of many. Like what I learned from my friend Marcus Sheridan, who explained, quote, "Studies show that when both parties have their camera on for a video conference sales call, close rates increase by 10%. Micro optimizations in your relationship development and sales process turn into financial growth at the end of the year. And throughout this conversation, you're going to notice that there's several optimization points that you should be doing. Don't pick one, pick all of them. Because If you just pick one, you're going to waste a year. And then you go, yeah, Todd, that those tips sucked. Todd doesn't do just one. I do all of them because I need to radically increase our revenue and growth every friggin' year. The best salesperson, the reason they need to have the camera on is they can go old school. They can read that prospect's body language. You know, that's still vital in this remote world. And the prospect will give the salesperson significantly higher attention span when we've committed to being on camera. If you're selling to somebody that committed to being on camera, think about what you're like when you're being sold to and you're on camera. You're being a good listener. You're maintaining eye contact. You're not chatting people up on your phone or blowing up the gram and looking at, I mean, let's be honest, these fitness videos, these girls, they're blowing up Instagram. You can't do that on a call. Instead, if your camera's on, you maintain eye contact, you follow, you ask smart questions, and you know what happens? People convert at higher levels when they're more invested. Each and every time, get that person on a camera, go old school, evaluate their body language, and you'll end up getting higher attention span because they committed. Now, the trick is don't cower. Don't cower from your sales moment of truth. If you really want to close the deal, you need to convince them to turn that camera on. And it's not hard, you know. Let them know that you're going to be able to help them much more on the call. If you can see them, it's going to make it more human. And you're going to be able to respond to their body language. And in your head, don't forget, if you can get that camera on, it's going to increase 10% your close rate, which is going to be awesome and amazing for you. And I'm going to post a link to Marcus Sheridan talking about this topic on the show notes page. I want you to watch the video. I've talked about it now in two episodes. It'll be on the show notes page for this episode, episode 234. Now, follow-up videos is also in zone three. This is salespeople also. Next, when we talk about the follow-up videos and how you can easily provide massive value for your prospects, here's how you do it. Now, I do this often. It doesn't take me a lot of time. It's not hard. I'm using personalized follow-up videos because it has pumped up my close rates significantly. Now, here are the scenarios in, you know, which I use these follow-up videos. After a call, I do Q&A. And here's the context in which I do it. If the prospect asks a question on the call that was important to them, that's why people ask questions, by the way, because it's important to them, or they're confused. Somebody who's confused doesn't go on to the next stage. So if somebody asks an important question during the meeting, I follow up after the meeting answering that question again. But this time I do it in video because I want them to be able to watch it multiple times or share it with a colleague that wasn't on the call that probably primed them for that question. I need to get my prospect to the next stage in the process. And if they are still stuck on that important question, I need to inject massive clarity and move them to the next stage. Now, was a key decision maker unable to make the call? Because that's another scenario. If a key decision maker is unable to make the call with the rest of the team, I have to use a follow-up video. I have to create a video that's personal for them. And I need to send them a quick video that highlights the accomplishments of the call because I need to get everybody moving. And if there are any new concepts introduced or a change in the strategy, or they decided that they needed something new that wasn't introduced in the previous call when that key decision maker was on there, I need to teach that to the key decision maker. If I get lazy and I don't update the key decision maker, they may not have the certainty or the confidence when it's time for them to sign off on the proposal. Got it? Now move everyone on your prospect's decision-making team down the field together so they can make a smart buying decision when the time is right. So which type of tool should you use for your follow-up videos? Now, before I select how I'm going to follow up, I need to first determine what I want to show in the video. So my brain, I'm like, all right, what am I going to do? Is they need to, what's the most convincing way to do that? And if I only need to talk, I'm probably going to film the video with my phone, right? And I'm going to upload it to Wistia, which is the video player that I referenced in Zone 2. And then I'm going to send them a link from Wistia so I can track their ass on the back end and know if they're watching or not. Okay? That's going to give me certainty. And if I think the topic is more complex than me just grabbing my phone and that I need to share something, like let's say out of my slides, or demonstrate how to do something on my computer, I typically prefer to share my computer screen and put my handsome mug on camera at the same time. Bow, bow, chica, bow, wow. And if showing and telling will be more effective, which in most cases it is, I use the soapbox tool, which was created by Wistia. So to give you an example, every time Wirebuzz submits a proposal, basically anytime we need to convince somebody or we're going to have to ask for some money, we personally walk the prospect and their team through the entire proposal by putting ourselves and the proposal on camera, and we share the screen with our mug and the slides, and that helps us transfer the right amount of certainty, clarity, and emotions so that prospect says the most important word in the English language. Yes, right? I need to get them there. Now, let me pump the brakes really quickly here on Zone 3. If you're sending your proposal as a PDF via email, yo, listen up. That's a really slow success rate tactic. More on that in a moment. And most buyers today, especially in a business context, they don't make decisions on their own. Instead, we build coalitions or committees that evaluate a new proposal. And in most cases, the person that you've been scheduling your calls with, your internal champion, is not going to be able to march their ass down the hall when you get off the call and share your PDF with their committee with the same level of clarity, certainty, and excitement that you're going to present it with, right? So instead of relying on them to be your ambassador, your champion, that's going to get everybody to the finish line, if you want to close more deals, and do it with the least amount of effort possible, create your proposal, make it visual, maybe use images, because that's how people buy now. And instead of sending them a PDF that people are not going to read, put that mug of yours on camera. Put your moneymaker to work and say something like, hey, Jennifer, it was great talking with you and preparing for this proposal for you and your team. And for Jennifer's teammates, my name's Todd Hartley. I want to walk you through the proposal and that we've been working on together, and then start teaching everyone in that video what your solution is going to be and how you're going to solve their problems and help them achieve their goals. When you do that, provide the right energy, get fired up, because people are not going to buy from a Debbie Downer. Send that video in an email with your proposal to your prospect, and you know what's going to happen? She's going to send that video to her entire team, which now your competitors aren't going to get that access. You are, and everyone is going to watch it, and you're going to make that emotional connection that's going to earn you the most important word. What is that? Yes, right? Anytime I know showing and telling will be more effective, I use a soapbox tool, which I mentioned, the soapbox tool by Wistia, which has a really easy video editor that anybody can use. To prove it, I trained my sister over the telephone how to do fast editing yesterday. And she was like, she looked at it and she was like, dude, I got this. I don't need to waste your time. Thank you. It cost me $300 a year. The first time I used it, I ended up closing a $200,000 proposal. Boom. That's the power of showing and telling. Let's grow. Now let's get into Zone 4. Zone 4 is when you get to delight your existing clients going through your process. Now, another way to look at this is, how do you support your clients with extra visibility as they go through the process? And this zone covers how to best educate the people who you're currently working with. And often this means using video to introduce your clients to the next stage in the project that you're creating for them. Now, I actually have a client right now that's doing this. And I'm going to bring Jason Fair into this conversation. Jason is Wirebuzz's director of content. And he was there with me in the room when this surfaced. All right, so I got Jason. I just pulled him out of his office. And Jason and I were at a client's office. They were a prospect at the time. And they said to us, and this actually was pre-quarantine. They said, listen, hey, guys, we love this and we want to do all of this stuff and prep our website. But the reality is we have so many clients right now that it will be fine if we can just better serve the ones that we have right now and don't get a single client all year. And so, Jason, if you could break down how this company is using video to delight their existing clients and show them what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, the execution strategy really focused on post-sale. To your point of how can you delight the customers? They have enough business, it's already coming in, but how do you ultimately, one of the things I know the CEO mentioned was, hey, we're putting out some fires, like once we close the contract, we're not being 100% clear on what that next step is in every single part of our post-sale process. Hey, Wirebuzz, how can you fine-tune that message-wise and make sure that, you know, we're delivering mass clarity to our customers because they're paying customers already. We already know that. How can we make sure that we fully delight them? And part of that is to transfer the information for post-sale. So if I'm a customer and I know exactly what the next step in the process is, I may not know the full details, but perception is reality, right? So if my perception is I know what that next step is, I might not be able to tell exactly what that is to maybe somebody else, but I know that they're communicating with me and I know high level what's going on. So it eases my mind and what's going on for each phase after that, which is super helpful.
Okay, and I love it. Like when the guy said that, yeah. I was like, ta-da! Because it was like brilliant, right?
Right.
Because what he was telling us is when people get into the first phase of their projects, that's like when they're going to lay out the strategy. And then after the strategy, it's going to go to the design phase. So they should get a video at the beginning of the strategy right. phase. Right. And when that, and it should be like, here's what's going to happen in the strategy phase. Boom. Then they get to the design phase. All right, welcome to the design phase. Our team is going to take your project and we're going to spec it out. This is a company that does some digital displays, but it doesn't matter what they do.
Right.
And then we're going to the next stage. They get a video when your project gets advanced to stage 3, and they've got like 9 stages. And he said, dude, if we could just paint that picture, we'd decrease confusion, we'd provide clarity, and people would start referring us to the other departments that also need our service.
Right, and to your point exactly, it's one of those things where it doesn't matter the industry. Anytime your post-sale is a little bit more complex, anytime you can help clarify that through the process, and again, it just eases the mind of the purchaser or the buyer, right? Because they're just going to be more, oh, okay, this is the next step. I know what's going on. If my boss asks me what the deal is, I can be like, oh, yeah. Well, here, check out this video, or let me just explain high level what's kind of going on. So you give them like assets. If they need to leverage it, they don't have to, but it's there and the transparency is there, which is beautiful.
That's so cool. Jason, thanks for breaking that down for me. He's Jason Fair. He's Wirebuzz's director of content. Jason's been with me for 5.5 years, and he's a frequent listener to the Toddcast on his drive home each day. Thank you, Jason.
Yeah, great seeing you.
All right, so look, you know what's really cool about this is your easiest customers, the easiest people to get to buy again are your existing customers. They belong inside of your video marketing strategy. Those are the 4 zones. I'm going to break them down really quickly because you can't talk about length of video until you start to say, okay, cool, where does that video live and what the zone is? And you can't talk about what tools you're going to use or how you're going to film it. You know, all these issues really need to be laid out before, but it takes a very smart strategic mind that understands the phases in video marketing and how to rock it to generate your business results. There are 4 zones of influence using video to achieve business mastery. The first one is zone 1, and that is discovery, where people are going to discover you on social, select a social, get a rock star. Zone 2 is your business site, but really a customer journey page and how you're going to use your business site to influence people. Remember, in zone one, I recommended following Shea Rowbottom. In zone two, I recommended Russell Brunson and his books like The Traffic Secret or even .com Secrets is probably where you should get started. And I also recommended Mike Huber's book from the Vertical Measures teams on customer journeys. Zone three, let's do it, people, is about personalized video where your sales team comes in and engages people in follow-ups. But salespeople can also be doing zone one by creating the net on social that they're going to scoop up more leads and then move them over into the journey page so they get to zone two. Zone three does not have a rock star of personalized videos. I don't know. I might be the person that's talking about it the most. Zone four doesn't have a rock star either, but I will continue to tell you how you can delight your existing clients going through your process by using the power of video to show people. You know what the most thing? Whoa, before we go, what upsets people the most when they just paid for something and now they're confused? So you use zone four to provide clarity of what in the world is going on and people let go. I learned this as a waiter, that when your food's being delayed, the right thing to do for the waiter is to come on out and to let people know what's going on. And you know what happens? People chill out again and they go back to being in relaxation mode. The same happens with your existing clients as they're going through your process if you paint the full picture. Zone one through zone four laid out for you, just dropped a knowledge bomb on you. And if you want to figure out how to advance your remote sales, I got 20 minutes of free learning at wirebuzz.com/remote-sales. And I will continue to do my job bringing you the latest news in video marketing so you could be a video marketing master. Let's grow.